Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls from Independence Baptist Church. We want to welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Now, this month, we'll be sharing with you several short messages that Pastor Reynolds has put together specifically for the radio broadcasts. Now, the first one this month is entitled, Jesus Came to Save Sinners, and the text will be 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Now, if you're lost, this message is great news for you. And if you're already saved, then it's a reminder of what you were and why Jesus came to save you. Now, it should serve as a constant reminder to those of us that are saved of our need to witness and to tell others what Jesus has done for us. So let's listen in as Pastor Reynolds starts this message about Jesus coming to save sinners.
This morning, I'd like to take my text from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, a very remarkable passage. Paul here is writing to Timothy. Both of these men are preachers. And here is what Paul writes to this preacher, friend of his. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul states, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." A lot of people would wonder why Jesus Christ even came into the world. Well, the Bible gives us this answer. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save all kinds of sinners. Paul said he was the chief sinner. Paul is not the only sinner, because the Bible states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person is a sinner. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come to save you? Has Jesus saved you, or are you trusting in something of yourself to save yourself? I would ask you this. Who is a sinner? Notice the Bible states here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Listen, Jesus came to save sinners. So my question is this. Did Jesus come to save you? Are you a sinner? Have you been a sinner? Do you continue in sin? Notice the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible states this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." I know there's a lot of people today that don't want to believe that the law is in effect. But the law is in effect. The Bible says that the person that sins transgresses the law, and sin is the transgression of the law. The Bible says, moreover, in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The fact is that every person faces death. Why? Because every person is a sinner. Every person has transgressed the law of God. There is the nature that we have that is sin, but then there's also the sins that we sin. You see, the nature of sin is the disease that we have of sin that brings us to the place of death. But the sins that we commit every day, that is the position that we stand in before God as being a sinner. Now, there's going to be some folks that will say, "Well, you know, I don't believe in the law, and I don't think I'm sinning against the law. I don't think that I'm doing anything against the law." But notice what the Bible states in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You might say, I follow the Ten Commandments. No, you don't. Nobody follows the Ten Commandments. Not exactly, not in your heart. You don't do it. Paul even stated about himself. He said the one commandment of God that got him and showed him that he was a sinner inside himself was that law that said, "Thou shalt not covet." That's an internal law. As far as the Ten Commandments and their external forces are concerned, when the Bible states that you shall not have any other God before you, you could say, well, that's kind of an external thing, and yet we know it's internal. The Bible states you should not commit adultery. Well, somebody said, that's all on the outside. Oh, no, because it begins in the heart. You see, the law is still in effect. The law of God is still in effect. And the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 10 that if a person offends God in one point, he is guilty of all of the law of God. And we know this, that every person is headed toward death. There is nobody that is going to escape death, but every person is headed toward death. We know that that's so. That's just a plain, evident fact. Notice that when people are sinners, they will go into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the place, the eternal destination of all of those who are sinners. Think about this, folks, and get this point. People die, and people sometimes go to hell. I know the world don't want to think about that. I know that you go to funerals all the time, and people say, well, everybody goes to heaven when they die. And you watch TV, and all the shows will tell about people who are dying, and they're going on to the better place where they can have peace and harmony from then on. But that's just not the case with everybody. Satan is out there to deceive this world, and he is deceiving many people into believing that everything they do is okay and that there's no sin at all. But that's just not the way it is. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 reveals who will be in this eternal destruction, be in the lake of fire. The Bible states there, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice all of the categories of all these people that's going to spend their eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible says the abominable are going to be there. Those are those people that are just atrocious beyond any description at all. They're just horrible, mean people. The Bible says murderers shall spend their eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible said that whoremongers will be there. The Bible said that sorcerers, that is, those that deal with witchcraft and the devil and satanic worship. The Bible states that idolaters, those people that worship their little statues, they have their statues wherever they are. The Bible says those people that depend upon that statue is going to wind up in the lake of fire. The Bible said that all liars are going to be there. That's what the Bible states. But notice something else. The Bible states in Revelation 21 and verse 8, not only will the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the liars be in hell. The Bible said that all the fearful and all the unbelieving will also be there. These are sinners. These are the ones that are not trusting the Lord. These are the ones that are not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people are going to die and go to hell. I wish that it would be different. I wish that the message that I could preach would be different than that. But I know that it's just so. I know that people die and people slip off into eternity, into the blazing flames of eternity. And they're never, ever going to get out of those things. The Bible tells us about the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man went to hell, not because he was rich, but because he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The poor man went to heaven. Lazarus went to heaven, not because he was poor, but he went to heaven because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, folks. Jesus is calling. Remember our text. The Bible states here, this is a faithful saying. I'm reading from the book of 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The Bible states this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is a preacher. And Paul is writing to Timothy, who is also a preacher. And Paul says, I am the chief sinner. Paul said, I was worse than about anybody. Of course, every person that is saved understands that their sins are the worst. That's what Paul is stating in this place. But Jesus Christ called Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. Paul continued in his wickedness until God called him out of it. All men are sinners. I'm thankful to know that Jesus, the voice of the Lord God, came to Adam and his wife in the Garden of Eden. I'm glad to know that God is the one who calls. I'm glad that God is the one who always makes the first move toward the sinner, because the sinner is dead in trespasses and sins and cannot come unless God moves toward him. You remember the story in the book of John chapter 11 verse 43 about Lazarus who died and was raised by Jesus Christ. Listen, it was Lazarus that was laying in that sealed tomb. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, said, Lord, we don't want to roll the stone away, because by this time Lazarus, he's been dead 4 days, he stinketh. And Jesus said, you roll away the stone anyway. And they rolled away the stone, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You see, it was Jesus made the move toward Lazarus, who was dead. But it was life that Jesus gave unto Lazarus, that he might be able to come forth unto him. I'm glad that Jesus is the one that makes the move toward us. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the one that came to save sinners. Because if Jesus had not come, we could not be saved. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we find forgiveness of sins. Notice in the book of John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, Jesus Christ came to Adam and his wife when they were hiding. They had sewed those fig leaves together, made themselves aprons, to hide their nakedness from the presence of the Lord. But they knew that was not enough. Therefore, when they heard the voice of the Lord God coming to them in the Garden of Eden, they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. But Jesus said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Listen, the book of John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm thankful to know that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and his wife had made those fig leaf aprons and they had covered themselves, and yet their nakedness was still showing through, and then Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden, it was still that Adam heard the voice of the Lord God, just as today lost sinners hear the voice of the Lord God. When Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, that's exactly what he meant. He said, I know them and they follow me. Are you hiding from God? Listen, God is calling you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Think of this. Somebody would have the idea, the only people Jesus saves are good people. Listen, our text tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ says there's none good. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none good, no, not one. The book of Psalms 14 says that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did seek God or that did understand. What did Jesus find? He found there was none that was seeking God. There was none at all. What kind of a person was the Apostle Paul before the Lord saved him? Let me give you his answer. The book of Acts chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, here's what Paul says in his own words. He said, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest hath bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. You notice in Acts chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, what Paul says about his own self before he was saved. Paul said that I persecuted believers until they died. Not only that, but I put believers into prison, both men and women, separating families, even children. He said, the high priest will bear me witness. And all of these Pharisees, they knew me. And they knew what I was doing. And yet Jesus Christ touched the Apostle Paul when his name was Saul, and he was on the road to Damascus to deliver believers unto death. He had letters in his hand to do it. Listen, what kind of a person does Jesus Christ come to seek and come to save? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save wicked people. Are you a wicked person? Let me tell you, Jesus Christ came to save you.
We want to thank you for listening this morning, and we would like to encourage you to join us for worship services today. Our Sunday morning services will be starting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for worship services, 4 p.m. for prayer meeting, and then we'll have another worship service at 4:30. Now, if you have additional questions about being saved or about Independence Baptist Church, then you can call and leave a message at 636-673-2180. Again, that number is 636-673-2180. Or you can log onto our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. Again, the website address is www.independencebaptist.org. Thanks again for listening this morning, and don't forget to tune in next Sunday at 8 a.m. for a message entitled, How Sin Came Into the World.